King, and welcome to CBS Mornings on the Go. Ahead on this Thursday, July 16th, take us with you, because we want to go with you. New ways to keep your children safe online when they use those AI chatbots. Meta says it's making changes, but will the safeguards work? That's the question. Kelly O'Grady is her name. She's going to break it all down for us. Plus, would you trust AI with your money? Seems a lot of people do. Jill Schlesinger is here with what you need to know about that and a warning. And also, talk about the World Cup with Roger Bennett today. The final, as you know, it's all set. Spain versus Argentina. He'll share his thoughts on who might win it all and what went wrong for England. And speaking of the World Cup, it can create stars overnight. Case in point, the Cape Verde goalkeeper, Vozinha. He captured the hearts with his amazing performance. He is right here on set today. He's got a great story to share. All that and more just ahead.
All right, we begin this hour with another day of extreme weather, including dangerous floods in central Texas for the third day in a row. Dozens have been rescued, and it's raining again this morning. Jason Allen is in the flood zone in Texas. Jason, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Mud. And it's a very dangerous situation for people in the Texas Hill Country this morning. We can hear lightning and see lightning and hear thunder that is flashing around us right now. And the Guadalupe River just absolutely raging again this morning. And this is where it passes through the north end of Kerrville. All of this water moving very quickly downriver. There are some gauges down there that I was checking in the last few minutes. It showed that the river came up as much as 30 feet this morning, and the rain has just come down heavier here probably since we joined you an hour ago. You know, this is happening all over the region, where some places are getting as much as a half a year's rain just within the last couple of days. Down in Uvalde, there have been dozens of rescues. I was looking, there are some tornado warnings that are popping up down there this morning. It's happening here. It's also been happening over in San Antonio. There was a tornado that spun up in San Antonio yesterday. It hit some structures there. It knocked out some power. The big concern for the moment, though, remains this flooding that is happening on the Guadalupe River. There are some reports of some rescues that may have been happening in some places in Ingram and up into Hunt. That is some information that we'll continue to track down this morning. There are signs of landslides, cars that got overtaken by the water early this morning. So a life-threatening situation, National Weather Service using the term catastrophic potentially flooding that may be happening in some locations, and a shelter-in-place order still in place here this morning in Kerrville.
Man, Jason, and I see the lightning too. Catastrophic, never good. Let's just hope Mother Nature gives you guys a break sooner rather than later. Thank you so much. Yeah. Now to the wildfire smoke affecting air quality for millions of Americans in the north. You can see it's turned the sky orange in some places. CBS News meteorologist Rob Marciano is outside here in New York City. Rob, good morning. How are you feeling out there?
Well, it's feeling like a barbecue out here. Quite a difference from what's going on in Texas. We have a very smoky air, not just here in New York, but up and down I-95 yesterday, all the way back through the Great Lakes, where it's even worse there. And that's where it's really some dangerous levels of smoke. And you can see the key there, anything that's orange, red, or higher is where it gets to be unhealthy. And, you know, depending on your health level and your age, you know, you're in more danger. But here in New York City right now, it's a little bit better than it was yesterday morning or yesterday afternoon, but I think it's going to get worse as the day goes along, because these fires, over 800 of them in Canada, are pouring this smoke over the Great Lakes and into the Northeast. So today will be just as bad as yesterday. So be prepared and get a mask if you can. Flood watches are in effect for Arizona and Texas, and those warnings that Jason mentioned, they are ongoing this morning, so we're watching that situation carefully. High risk of flooding throughout the day today. Guys, back to you.
All right, Rob, thank you very much. On Capitol Hill, lawmakers are getting ready for another day of tough questions about the president's pick to be Attorney General. On Wednesday, Todd Blanche faced pushback from both parties over his handling of the Epstein files and his personal relationship with President Trump. Caitlin Huey Burns has more. Caitlin, good morning.
Hey, good morning to you, Vlad. Well, during a five-hour hearing, Blanche faced bipartisan scrutiny for how he's handled this job so far. And in order to get confirmed, he's going to need the support of one Republican senator who is now free from re-election pressures.
Good morning.
Todd Blanche's confirmation could hinge on the Justice Department's $1.8 billion anti-weaponization fund, which offers payouts to people allegedly targeted by federal investigations. Paid for by taxpayer dollars, the fund is a result of a legal settlement with President Trump over the release of his tax returns.
This is a problem. It should never be paid out.
Pressed by both Democrats and Republicans, Blanche insisted the fund is no longer active.
The Web Solution Fund is dead. It's not moving forward.
Republican Senator John Cornyn, who recently lost his primary election to a Trump-backed challenger, questioned Blanche on whether President Trump could revive the fund through a lawsuit, since the agreement to kill it hasn't been codified.
They can't force the Department of Justice to move forward with the weaponization fund.
Blanche won't be able to be confirmed without Cornyn's support, and the Texas senator said he hasn't decided whether he will give it.
As the president's private lawyer, he's now taken on a new role. I want to make sure he understands the difference.
Blanche, who served as Trump's personal attorney before joining the Justice Department, was repeatedly pressed on his independence from the president.
Are you and President Trump friends?
I'm his lawyer, was his lawyer, and now I'm the Deputy Attorney General.
Under questioning, he also acknowledged the Justice Department made mistakes in handling the release of the Epstein files as survivors of Epstein's abuse looked on in the hearing room.
Any mistake that was made is not appropriate. And so, yes, I am sorry. We put tons of resources to rectifying those mistakes immediately.
Now, Vice President J.D. Vance was on Joe Rogan's podcast yesterday, and he admitted that the administration, quote, absolutely screwed up how it communicated about what was in the Epstein files. But he insisted that there was no effort to cover anything up. Nate.
Caitlin, thank you. The Navy's elite Blue Angels are investigating after a low flyover during an event in Pensacola, Florida. Take a look at this video. It shows one of the jets flying over a crowded beach and banking sideways.
Wow.
Tom Hansen has more.
All eyes were on the skies over Pensacola Beach, Florida, as beachgoers watched Blue Angels Navy jets soar over the Gulf.
Heads up!
Seconds later, they were taken by surprise.
They picked up umbrellas and they flew around. That's really thrilling.
During a flyover, a Blue Angels jet came barreling so low over the beach, it sent sand, chairs, and tents flying. The Navy's elite flight team says the startling pass was lower than standard. A still image shows the jet just feet over people's heads. Earlier this month, there was another controversial maneuver when four Apache attack helicopters flew low over people's heads gathered at Myrtle Beach on the 4th of July. The pilots were suspended, but days later, the Pentagon reversed the decision. As for Wednesday's flyover, the Blue Angels say they are conducting a safety review. For CBS Mornings, I'm Tom Hansen.
And we spoke to an aviation expert who was familiar with Blue Angels training and protocol. They told us jets are supposed to fly or not supposed to fly over crowds that low. And while they don't know why this happened, noted that at such fast speeds, a momentary lapse in concentration, for example, even a sneeze, could cause a pilot to veer off course, which could be dangerous with people so close to those.
That would have been a hell of a sneeze because he flew low for so long, too.
Yeah.
Enough to kick up the sand in the winds.
Yeah.
Very scary stuff.
It was a matchup for the ages at the World Cup, and the teams did not disappoint. Another huge comeback. Argentina beat England 2-1, scoring both goals in the final minutes. Now, Argentina advances to the final where it will play Spain on Sunday. Joining us now to talk about it is Roger Bennett. He is the founder and CEO of the Men in Blazers Media Network. Good morning, Roger. What's up, baby?
Hello, Nate Burleson. It's an incredible day to be alive unless you're an English football fan.
It really is. It's an incredible day. You say that you have never seen anything like this. Why?
England, dreaming of a World Cup win for the first time in 60 years, were winning all the way until the 85th minute. Argentina looked like this was just a game too much. Lionel Messi, 39 years of age, could not do anything to dent that brave British back line. But this team, it makes no sense. They have no idea of football. They just put a knife in their teeth, though. And it's like a divine magic that kicks in. And 85th minute onwards, last 7 minutes of the game, they destroyed England, shattered the nation's hearts, left them like Natalie and Bruglia, cold-shamed and lying naked on the floor. And Lionel Messi has dragged this team into the final yet again, age 39. It's like he's a demigod, not a footballer.
Roger, one of the announcers Foster says last night, although Messi didn't score, how lucky are we to experience his greatness? And all I could think of, A, do you agree with that, number one? And A, I was thinking, as you said, England was leading the whole time. What happened to the team? But did we experience his greatness? Go ahead.
This is a tiny man. He is now old. He looks like he strolled out. Last time I came, I told you, he looks like he strolled out of a local Supercuts. But there's something that happens to him when the world is watching, when the pressure's at his highest. What he can do with a footballer, how he can destroy souls, how he thinks, how he works, how he plays. The Athletic did a study where they found out he actually walks on the field 63% of the time, stands still 25% of the time. It's what he does in that other 12%. You are watching, Gail, you know, Michelangelo paint. You are watching Mozart compose. People will talk about Lionel Messi and what he's done for centuries, and we get to watch him one more time in New York City on Sunday in this final against Spain.
So let's talk about that final against Spain, Roger. What do you think of the matchup? And of course, we've all seen that photo that's gone viral of a young Yamin Lamal with Lionel Messi at, he's only 20, Messi here in this photo. And now he is going to be facing off against Lionel Messi in this final. What do you make of that? And what do you think, who do you think is going to win?
Can you believe that?
Really impossible to believe it. It's right there in front of our eyes.
If the Bible was being written, this would be like Abraham begatting Isaac on a hilltop. I mean, what are the odds that giant, beautiful six-month-old baby would grow into what many people think is Lionel Messi's successor, this kid, Lamine Yamal, who's won everything, just turned 19 2 days ago. If he wins the World Cup at 19, he'll be like Alexander the Great, who will weep because there's nothing left in the world for him to conquer. Look, this Spanish team are brilliant. They have an idea of football. They have a collective cohesion. They can defend unbelievably. They can rip opponents apart. Argentina have none of that. They have magic. They have passion. They have tenacity. By the way, real magic. I'm a rational man. I don't believe in magic. But when I watch Argentina play, I can only explain that it's divine magic. And that's what we're going to see. Rationality against pure emotion. I would never bet against Lionel Messi. If he wins on the Sunday, you will see a human being at that final whistle stop being human and emerge in front of the world as a demigod.
Quick, wow. Roger, who are you picking? Quick.
It's too close to call, like that man who wears the khakis on the political shows. I never bet against Messi. Never bet against Messi. You've got Vizinha on, by the way. That man who's coming on is the true winner of the World Cup.
Yeah, you're right about that.
Hey, enjoy every second, guys. Make great memories.
Big love. We always do, especially with you, Roger. Thank you very much, my friend.
Ahead, here's a question. Should you trust AI to tell you what to do with your money? No. Jill Sussman has the inside track on the risk and the possible rewards. I know, we're waiting for you, Jill. Then Cape Verde superstar soccer player Vizinha is here. The goalie will tell us what it means to have captured the hearts of soccer fans around the globe. Welcome you back to CBS Mornings. It's 7:30. So around here, you know what that means. Time for a look at the stories that caught our eye. Lovely. Kelly O'Grady is back with us to do the honors. Kelly, good morning again.
Good morning to you, Gail, again. All right, we're going to begin with terrifying moments for two Oklahoma brothers who plummeted nearly 40 feet while trimming a tree. I want you to take a look at this. So you're going to see the arm on their bucket truck fold after a cable snapped, sending Isaac and Andrew Reyes crashing to the ground. Wow. The two were taken to hospitals with serious injuries, and you're going to see Isaac with a special visitor. That's his daughter. Since the photo was taken, incredibly, both brothers were returned home to recover, which is great.
You know what's scary about that, Kelly? They know they're falling because
you can't do anything.
Whoa, and there's nothing
you can do. But they're home recovering. So
okay,
that's
good. Good news. Good.
New findings next up that might get us closer to an answer to that age-old question: are we alone? The journal Science Advances revealed this meteorite, which crashed through a New Jersey home's roof in 2024, contains organic material that is, quote, extraterrestrial in origin. Experts say the rock showed traces of a, quote, complex suite of amino acids, which are the building blocks of life. So is there life out there? I say yes.
Kelly, amaze.
Rocky. Exactly. And finally, dramatic video of a firefighter saving a life after a vehicle fire. So once we see, yep, that's a pigeon. That's a pigeon. Oakland, California firefighters said they saw the pigeon was having trouble breathing after breathing in smoke. So they gave it some oxygen. What? The department said the bird came up to them seeking help. And that after clearing its lungs, it flew away. I'm honestly surprised it worked, but it's awesome it did.
Well, the pigeon knew where to go to get help. That's nice.
Yeah, we'll help you out.
I love that. I'm a big pigeon fan. I mean, pigeons are remarkable birds. They can fly there, find their way home.
Not New York pigeons.
You're alone,
every pigeon.
They just smoke the air like it's a cigarette. They're a little bit different. Thank you, Kelly.
Thank you for that, Kelly. Appreciate it. Okay, now to the latest on the mysterious death of the Mississippi teenager. His name, of course, Nolan Wells. He is the college football player who disappeared on July 4th after a party on an island off the coast. His family believes race is a factor in how officials have handled the case. Skylar Henry has been following this for us in Mississippi.
We continue to be steadfast in trying to get to the truth.
The parents of Nolan Wells and their legal team, led by attorney Ben Crump, say they received some assurances Wednesday about the thoroughness of the investigation as tips pour in.
We're getting about 50 calls a day to 100 calls a day.
The 18-year-old college football player was last seen on July 4th on a boating trip with friends to Horn Island, 10 miles from Mississippi's Gulf Coast. GPS data obtained by the Mississippi Department of Marine Resources shows the boat arriving at the island at 11:14 in the morning. Friends Wells was with told investigators he chose to stay behind on the island. Judge Ashley Cole says her son was on the boat. In a Facebook post, she said the boat had an issue when somebody made a call for help.
We're at the west tip of Horn, and our bilge pump stopped working. We're sinking.
Wells' mother reported him missing later that night.
Please report her 8-year-old son, Nolan Wells, missing last seen at 3 on Horn Island.
After a 2-day search, his body washed up on the island.
If this was your son, if this was your daughter, wouldn't you want desperately to get to the truth?
For the family, there are so many unanswered questions about what happened that day. But they are moving forward with funeral plans set for next Monday for their son.
We want to celebrate Nolan. He would not want us to be sitting around crying and eating. And so what we're going to do is kind of have a party to celebrate him.
As for yesterday's meeting, the family's legal team, along with the DA's office, have agreed to a mutual inspection of Wells's cell phone. That could potentially be a key piece of evidence in this investigation. Meanwhile, the family is also still waiting for the results of a state-conducted autopsy, as well as the results of one that they are conducting independently as well. Attorney Crump told us yesterday that those results should come back very soon. Nate.
Such a tragedy. Our heart breaks for those parents and his friends and family. All right, Skylar, thank you. In today's Money Watch, should you let AI help you manage your money? Technology is everywhere right now, and it might be able to help you come up with a budget. But experts say there are some risks there, some risks that you have to weigh, the pros and the cons of using AI. So we have someone that's going to help you. We are joined by CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, so before we talk about the benefits of using AI, let's talk about some of the warnings you want to give.
I just want to be clear that I don't want anyone sharing personal information with your chatbot. Meaning, I know there's a lot of folks who are uploading their statements, their bank statements, their credit card statements, their investment statements, their 401k statements. Absolutely not. No social security numbers, no account numbers. People are uploading their tax returns, filling it in and saying, did I miss something? The problem is that these chatbots, they are not actually regulated in the way, say, your financial services companies are. So this information can float out there. Please, please be very careful about what you share. Okay. Yes, absolutely. So what are the benefits and what are some of the smart ways people can use it? I think primarily education and like that first step of information that you have. It's really good when you're asking a very discrete question. For example,
what is the difference between a Roth and a traditional IRA? Or, gosh, what's the difference between a standard and itemized deduction? But the thing that is really important to understand is that, again, as you're filling in all the information and you're giving more details about yourself, you have to just be a little bit guarded. I heard somebody use this in a really great way. They said, how can I look at my spending in a different way? What are the categories that I'm tending to miss? So this is great. It can build a spreadsheet for you. And I think this is a really good way to use sometimes a hard concept to wrap your hands around. It's a good way to kind of make it concrete.
Yeah, one of the things that you actually recommend as a prompt is to ask AI what could go wrong. So, for example, your financial advisor gives you some type of advice.
Yes.
Says, I'm putting you into these investment vehicles. You could talk to AI about that.
So I heard from someone on the pod who said to me, I was pitched a very complicated product. I asked AI whether this was something that was good for someone like me. And then the person said, what other questions? I said, ask what could go wrong with this advice?
Yep.
What questions should I ask the advisor or the insurance salesperson? These are really important. Also, when you're using it, I noticed it because I've been banging on these models in preparation for this segment, that really be clear about the types of URLs that you want to actually include. Government information is great. Go use the studentloan.gov website. Do use the IRS.gov website. But if they're giving you a citation from like Joe's blog, maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe don't take that so seriously.
All right,
Jill. I like Joe.
Joe's great, but Jill's blog is better.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. And we appreciate you, Jill. Thank you so much. For more advice, check out her new podcast, Money Moves with Jill Schlesinger. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts, and you can watch it on YouTube.
Trying to make a living,
doing the best I can.
It's time for those stories that
are. Do you know that name?
I don't know that. The Allman Brothers? What era was that?
What? Allman Brothers, one of the greatest rock and roll bands of all time.
But did you see Nate's face? No, I don't know that.
All due respect to the Allman Brothers. I don't know that one.
Nate's face was like.
I know, he's like.
I was going to join in. I was like, all that I can.
You should have just went like this.
Yeah, but I didn't want the camera to hit me on my single. Like, I would have been exposed.
Yeah. Okay. Talk of the table. I get to go first.
You get to go first, Cal.
My talk of the table today. Oh, he cracks me up. It's a new hilarious new social media trend that's uniting girlfriends and wives everywhere to prank their boyfriends and their husbands. So it's called Hug My Boyfriend Trend. Take a look.
Hello. Hi. Remember me? 2 days ago at the beach bar?
On God, I do not know who she is.
That's not a boy.
Who is that?
Oh my gosh.
So what happens is the girlfriends will ask a random woman to hug their boyfriend to see his reaction. So my question to Nate and to Vlad.
Oh my gosh.
How would you handle that? I just think it's so funny because he's looking at her like, I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything. I don't know who she is. I swear. What would you do?
I would probably look at Atoya first, like these dudes are doing. It's funny how they all do the same thing. They look at her like, well, hey, I don't know. I remember one time, this is a true story. I was at a Super Bowl event, and I'm walking with Atoya. And a young lady, she walks up to me. She was a fan. And she hits me with the big arms from a distance.
Right.
Nate! Like, only relatives do. I dapped her up like a dude. I said, what's up, homie? How you doing? And I had to have the space in between, you know what I'm saying?
Yes,
like a family reunion hug. And when she walked away, I said, honey, I do not know that woman. You saw that.
Heisman on her right away. Whoa.
But it is funny how they all instantly look at their girlfriends and say, look, I don't know.
That is a good one.
They said when guys are in trouble, they look to a trusted adult.
Yeah, their significant other. That's for sure. That is good. All right, my talk to the table is Wall Street Journal. They are saying that the era of the muscle suit is here. Tight jackets, slimmer cuts, all fueled by Protein Max. I knew you would like this one.
I know. I actually hoped that you would pick this.
Yeah, so this Protein Maxing craze, right? Wanting everybody to see and show off their physique. Now, I get it.
if you lived on nothing but chicken breast and protein shakes for 6 months, you want your suit to know it. But Vlad, you know this. Suit trends, they always come and go. Yeah. We've had the oversized era. We've had the skinny suit era. And now because of this, we are one button away from the tops snapping between the legs and dudes wearing jeggings.
So do you like it, Nate?
No. Give me the traditional fit.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't want it too baggy. I don't want it painted on. Just timeless. So for all the women and men out there that appreciate a good suit, which are you choosing? Do you like the muscle suit or do you like the classic cut, Gil?
Classic cut, right?
The whole purpose of the suit is not to actually show off your physique. It's to show your stature and to show your presence in a space. And
to show the tailoring.
That's right. The tailoring should
accentuate
your positives, but not your muscles and your thighs. I mean,
all right, Vlad, what do you got?
All right. My talk on the table is a more serious one. It's a collection of rare and historic audio interviews with formerly enslaved Americans. We've all been reporting recently on attempts to erase history. And when I saw this, I was reminded that history, American history, is alive. In 1935, writer Zora Neale Hurston traveled with scholars across Georgia and Florida and the Bahamas, collecting firsthand, let me just repeat that, firsthand stories from these Americans. This was in 1935. They were talking to people who were formerly enslaved. At the time, there weren't many audio recordings like these. Now, the United States Library of Congress has compiled more than 20 such stories, reminding us that history was lived by real people. Here's the voice of one man. His name is Fountain Hughes. Listen to him.
I was born in Charlottesville, Virginia. My grandfather belonged to Thomas Jefferson. We were slaves. We belonged to people. They sell us like they sell horses and cows and hogs and all that. If I thought, had any idea that I'd ever be a slave again, I take a gun and just end it all right away. Because you're nothing but a dog. You're not a thing but a dog.
So that was just in 1935, someone expressing what it was like to be owned by another human being. And again, these are people that would have known our grandparents. This was not some ancient history that we can just say, oh, this is about monuments or the way that people experience history. These people lived it.
Firsthand
account.
We forget that.
Firsthand account.
What a treasure to have that, though.
It is. Yeah. You can check out the full collection on the Library of Congress website. It's actually available.
I'll be going to it, Vlad, for sure.
Too.
And it's taken quickly. Vozinha palms it away. No one was paying attention except for Vozinha. Messi tried to catch him. Fourth save for the Cape Verdean goalkeeper.
Look at him with saves like that. That's Cape Verde and its goalkeeper, Vozinha. Captured the world's heart at the Men's World Cup. This tiny country's team was playing in the tournament for the very first time. Think about this. It proved it could hold its own against heavyweights like the two countries that later advanced to this Sunday's final. That, of course, is Spain and Argentina. So at the start of the tournament, Vozinha had about 40,000 Instagram followers.
Okay, that's decent.
That's very decent. But guess what it is now? Over 29 million.
Amazing.
Yes, it bears repeating. 29 million. And it's safe to say he's got a lot of fans here, and we are so happy, Vozinha, to have you in the studio today.
First, welcome.
I want to know how all this feels for you. Let's do the Did we do it okay?
Yes, amazing. You learn very fast.
We're quick around here. But tell me, though, what this feels like for you to go from most people didn't know the country, didn't know you, and now you walk down the street and people lose their minds.
First of all, good morning. And
yes.
Good morning. Thank you for your invitation.
Yeah.
It's a pleasure also to be here. I'm very grateful and very happy for everything that happened in my life. Of course, I never expect that.
Yeah.
But it's been like crazy, insane, because how I can say, I used to be around people. I play football, so in the football, you used to be around people.
Yeah.
But now it's something that I never expect. And for me, it's also a little bit difficult because I used to be like...
Anonymous.
I like to connect with people.
Yeah. Yeah.
In Cape Verde, we like to welcome people. We can cook in the street, for example, and eat in the front of the door. But from now on, I can't do that. But in the end, I'm very happy because before we used to say we are from Cabo Verde or Cape Verde. And when you say that everywhere in the world, people say, where is that,
for example? Yes.
And then just to show our country to the world, and we don't need anymore to say that.
People know.
It's the best thing can happen.
And you started your professional career around 25 years old, a little bit later than a lot of people that we watch during the World Cup. What did you say to yourself to keep yourself going? Because, you know, there's times where you're working hard, grinding, maybe even working multiple jobs, and you're still motivated to make it.
First of all, I think from when I born and from the when I was child, I always had a dream to be a professional player. In our country, the chance we had to be professional in sport, it's
tiny.
It's small. Very small, you know, because we are African, we are Cape Verdean, and first of all, you have to fight for the visa. It's the first kind of things. And even we have a lot of quality in like small country, but it's hard. And also, how to say it? When you are in Cape Verde, no one can watch you. We don't have the facilities, the condition. And even you are like, we have a lot of talent there. Yeah. And they even from past, they never had the opportunity, for example, to go to Europe.
Yeah, where to be you seen can, by the bigger clubs.
But and now when
you can, when you can develop, for example, we, the people, the coach we have, they do a lot.
They do a lot
for us, but in the end, they don't have the knowledge or, and they, even they was ex-football player, but they don't have, they never study like.
I know what you're saying.
But now they're watching because I'm worried about the clock. Everybody wants you. You're now a free agent. What are you thinking? Because there are rumors that you might be in Miami with Messi. What are you thinking?
I think this is the first things I want to solve, like, or to, because I love football.
Yes. You still want
to
play.
To be here at 40 years old, it's because I really have this passion.
And you're good.
Thank you.
Yes.
I want to play at least 1-2 years, how my body feel and react, because the day of tomorrow, we never know, but I want to play, and I hope I can like find a team that really want me as a football player, not a marketing person.
People are very fascinated with you. Asking for a friend, do you have a wife, children? Are you available?
Are you single?
Yes. What do you think?
Yes, I'm single.
Okay, Gail, shoot your shot.
Okay, Gail, go!
Cheering you on always. That'll do it for us. We'll see you tomorrow on CBS Morning. Take it easy.
Shoot your shot. Kick your kicks.